Above all, clothe yourselves with love. It is the week of Valentine's Day. It is also the last week for the series we've been doing, There and Back Again, A Pastor's Tale. And I thought it might be a nice time to talk about, on my sabbatical, a trip that my wife and I took together. For you to understand how important that trip was, you have to understand a little background first. I met my wife in college. We both attended Culver Stockton College, which is a small liberal arts school over in northeast Missouri, in Canton, Missouri. It actually is a Disciples of Christ college. I was not a Disciples of Christ when I went to it, but it is a Disciples of Christ school. I was a junior. My wife arrived my junior year as a freshman. One of the things I did when I was at college was I volunteered every fall to come back to college early and be an orientation counselor. Now, this was where an upperclassman would help the incoming freshmen. They would group the freshmen together in groups of like 12 to 14 students, and an upperclassman would show them around campus. Here's where this building is. Here's where these classes are. Here's where the field house is. Here's the administration building, all that type of stuff. Now, you should understand, while I certainly have a servant's heart now, 20-year-old Mark saw it as a great opportunity to meet freshman girls, right? I mean, a week before everybody else gets to school, and I'm showing the freshman girls around campus. So I was a junior. I had my group, and I was showing them around campus when we ran into another orientation group that a friend of mine, Dan Irwin, was leading. And Dan knew that I had been at one time a theater major, and I wasn't anymore. But he knew that Jackie, this freshman that he had in his group, she was going to be a theater major. So as our two groups kind of met crossing campus one day, he said, "Mark, I want you to meet somebody. This is Jackie. She's going to be a theater major." To which I replied, "A theater major, huh? Yeah, good luck with that." And my orientation group, who I was trying to be funny for, laughed at her. And then we walked on. Now, I tell you that story to tell you the first time that I remember us meeting. Because I didn't remember that time. She did. About 3 months later, I was down in the student center, and we had this old restaurant down there and these booths where you could sit. And I was down there with some of my fraternity brothers, and we're down there doing some stuff, and I look over, and there's this girl sitting by herself, and she's cute. I mean, she's really cute. See, I'm like, ooh, look over there. And so I went over to talk to her. She's sitting by herself, so I went over and talked to her. I introduced myself. "How you doing? Mark Willis. Glad to meet you." And I talked to her for a little bit, and I said, "Hey, you know, this Friday, my fraternity is going to be having a party. You should come down to it." Well, as it turns out, she did. She came down that Friday, and we started dating shortly thereafter. And I still didn't remember the first time we'd met. She did. She will tell you this honestly. Her plan was to get me to fall madly, head over heels in love with her, and then she was going to break my heart. She was going to dump me cruelly and mercilessly. We've been together now 27 years since that moment. Still waiting for that shoe to drop. Got to be honest with you. There's days where I wonder if she's not going to just sit up and go, "Ha, ha, ha, ha." Hasn't happened yet, though, so I'm biding my time. But that was how we met. That was how we met. The first time my wife met me, she hated me. She really did. I was an arrogant jerk. I deserved every bit of her venom. But we started dating. One thing led to another. A couple years later, we were married. And ever since we got married, we've been married 25 years now, and ever since we first got married, that first year, we talked about going to New England for a road trip in the fall. I mean, it's always been a dream of ours to go up there. It's a very romantic sounding, let's drive, go see the leaves change up through New England. And every year we talked about it. And we've gone on some wonderful trips together. We've gone all over this country together and seen all kinds of wonderful things. But that has not been a trip that's made it onto our list. And so this past fall, when I had the time with the sabbatical and she had vacation time, we decided to take just 2 weeks, just us, just her and I, and go on this trip to New England. And it was an amazing, amazing trip. We flew into Boston, and To give you an idea how you stay married for 25 years, there's a lot of things my wife and I share. We share a lot of the same passions for justice. We believe in a lot of the same things in a lot of different ways. But we also have very much the same sense of humor. It's a little twisted and demented sometimes, but it's the same, so that's okay, right? I got somebody else I can laugh with, even when I know I can't tell anybody else we're laughing about this, but this is really funny. So we flew in, I tell you that because we flew into Boston for this two-week trip. We got off the plane, we walk up to the car rental counter, and I had set everything up months in advance. I'd rented all the hotel rooms, I had rented the car, I had gotten the plane tickets. We walk up to the car rental counter, they say, "Yes, Mr. Willis, how you doing? Here's your 12 forms, please sign them all, X here, initials here. Thank you very much, there's your paperwork, you're gonna walk, follow our signs out to the parking garage, they'll get you taken care of." Excellent. We grab our suitcases, we walk out to the parking garage, we open the doors, the entire floor of the parking garage is empty, except for 15 people standing in the queue waiting to get cars. So I walk up to the lady that's in charge, I give her our paperwork, she looks at the paperwork, and it's never a good thing. If you're getting ready to have a conversation with somebody and they begin the conversation with a sigh, something's about to happen, right? I give her my paperwork, she goes, I'm like, uh-oh. She checks through it, she goes, "Okay," she goes, "Mr. Willis, I'm gonna be honest with you, they have rented more cars than we have." She goes, "We'll get you a car, but it's gonna take us a little bit." Okay. So Jackie and I sit down, we're watching the other 15 people in line, some of whom are very upset at having to wait. There's no sense in us getting upset with her, it's not gonna get a car any faster. As we watch, what happens is about every 10 minutes, a car comes whipping up onto the floor, the water's still pouring off of it from the car wash, and the guy from downstairs who's receiving the cars has grabbed it, vacuumed it out, run it through the car wash, and drove it up real quick. And as soon as he jumps out of it, the first two people in line get into it, and off they go. And I'm like, well, they're waiting for cars to come back in. This isn't good. So we're sitting there wondering what we're going to do when we happen to notice all the way over on the far end of the parking lot, about 100 yards away, there's six brand new Kia Sedona minivans just sitting there. I'm like, what do you think those are for? So we watch, and after a couple minutes, the lady in charge, she starts going to people at the front of the line with her little clipboard, and she's saying, I don't have the car that you rented, but I do have minivans. Would you like a minivan? And shockingly, many of the people in line are saying no. At which point, my wife turns to me and she goes, "You know we're saying yes." And I was like, "Oh yeah, oh yeah, yeah." She gets over to us. I'm like, "Yep, yeah, yeah, yes, yes, well, yes, yes." And she's like, "Oh, thank you." She signs something. She goes, "Go pick one." Even better. So we run across the parking lot. I used to drive a Kia Sedona, so we're very comfortable in it. It was going to be bigger than the car we were going to rent anyway. So we go over and we're getting the seats put down, putting our luggage in. When this other couple come up to the van next to us, now they're older, I would guess them to probably be in their mid to late 70s. They're very, very tiny people. They're like this tall. And the gentleman, the husband, has some type of a degenerative disease. He's using a walker, and you can tell, there's some, I would guess something like maybe muscular dystrophy or something like that. As they come walking up to the van, they're trying to get the door open, they're trying to get their suitcase into it, and I'm like, we should probably give them a hand. So we help them get the back hatch open, and they're like, "Oh, can you help us put the seats down?" Well, sure, I can do that. I put the way the seats go down in the Sedona, it's split in half. So you put this side down. Well, on this side, there's a car seat that the previous drivers had left in the car. And the gentleman, he's like, "Well, we don't want the car seat. We want to put the seat down." I'm like, "Okay, well, in order to get the car seat out, someone's going to have to get in the front. We can unhook it." So his wife gets in the front. Now, like I said, she's very tiny. All of a sudden, he can't see her over the seat. He doesn't know where she went, so he's standing next to me. As I'm trying to unhook this car seat, he's next to me. "Lorraine! Lorraine! Lorraine!" I'm like, "Man, she's in the car. She's right there." And he's like, oh, okay. So we get the car seat out, and I turn around, I set it down, and I go to lower the seats, and all of a sudden I realize he's not standing next to me anymore. He has picked up the car seat and is trucking back across the parking lot to go turn it in to the aide. And his wife now, who's in the front of the van, can't see over the seat. He's tiny. She can't see him. Ed! Ed! And I'm like, stop. I ran over. I was like, Ed, what are you doing? I don't want this in the car. I was like, well, here, give it here. I went over and sat next to the wall. I'm like, man, they pay people to do that. Just leave it there. So we got Ed and Lorraine into their car, and they took off, and Jackie and I got into our van, and we just laughed the whole way to the hotel because they were just such colorful little people. They couldn't find each other. It really was an amazing trip. We spent 2 weeks driving through New England. New England's not that big. The entire road trip itself was only about 15 hours, but we did it over 2 weeks. So every day we'd get up, we'd have an hour or two down the road to make it, so we could do whatever we wanted. We'd go off and look at stuff. We could stop as much as we wanted. We could take our time. It was a trip that we had wanted for so long, and it fit our relationship to a T. My wife and I enjoy spending time with each other. And it was remarkable to us the first time we discovered that there are couples who don't. It was absolutely astonishing. We had some friends in Omaha who took separate vacations because he liked to go hunting and she didn't want to go hunting. And so they took separate vacations, and we never understood that because we like being together. We like road trips. We like being in the car together and talking together. I love my wife, and she loves me, but even more than that, we like each other. We like spending that time together, talking with each other, listening to each other, laughing with each other, sometimes inappropriately, but still. Being with one another. This trip this past fall was a time that was just for our relationship. That was all it was about, was her and I together. We left the kid at home. We left the dogs at home. I'll be honest, I missed the dogs. I did miss the dogs. We actually tried several times on the trip to stop at a pet shelter to see if I could pay $20 to pet dogs. Like, can I just make a donation to the shelter and you let me pet some of your friendly dogs for a while? Every shelter, we stopped at 4 or 5 shelters. Every one of them was closed the day or the time that we stopped. Every time. It was like we had a magic touch for knowing when they would be closed. Finally, on the second week of our trip, we were driving through rural Vermont, and just driving down the road, we see a sign that says garage sale. And we thought, yeah, why not? So we went to this garage sale back in the hills of Vermont, and we pulled up to this guy's house. He's got this huge garage sale going on, and there in the front yard is his 10-year-old basset hound named Harry. And I told Jackie, you go look at this stuff. I'm going to go pet the dog. And Harry was one of those dogs, you pet him once and you're his best friend forever. And so he and I got along very well. But this trip was all about our relationship. It was a break from our regular routine. We were in a different place we had never been, a place we had never seen, just the two of us in a car together. It was just her and I. It was all about our relationship together. Now, luckily, we travel well in a car. Most of our family vacations, all of our family vacations we've gone on really, have involved us driving. We've driven to Yellowstone. We've driven to Florida. We've driven to Texas. We enjoy that time in the car, that time together. Time on the road is wonderful relationship time. We talk, we play games, we sing songs, we dream and plan and wonder together. We stop at whatever roadside attraction catches our attention. We were driving through Linden, Vermont, which is a town that's about that big. But the highway that was heading south that we needed was in Linden. So that's why we were in Linden, Vermont. We were literally there to turn left. We see a sign that says Linden State College, next right. Well, we have to go to see Linden State College. So we went and walked around the campus, went to the bookstore. I have a Linden State College shirt that I love to wear now. Right? We would do things like that. When you're on a road trip like this, the opportunity to stop is always there. We were driving down the highway in Vermont one day. We passed this little country road, and you could see about a half mile down the road was a covered bridge. So about a mile down the road, we turned around. We came back and pulled off on this dirt road and went down, looked at this covered bridge, and walked around the woods that were around it. There were garage sales and local attractions that caught our eye, and we had the time to pull off and just see what was there. This trip was one long road trip. It was getting up every day, loading up the van, grabbing our breakfast and coffee, hitting the road, seeing what there was to see, meandering about for 2 hours up the road to our next stop, It was fabulous and refreshing and inspiring. And our relationship has existed for over 25 years because we want to and like to take this type of time for it. Because we believe that our relationship needs that much time. Relationships are tricky animals. They need time and attention and care. And how much you give to the relationship will often determine the strength or the beauty of that relationship. Whether we're talking about a relationship with your best friend or with your family or with a significant other or spouse or even our relationship with God, relationships must be fed to be healthy. And now, don't get me wrong, our relationship is not perfect. In 25 years, there have been times we have not been feeding it enough, that we have not been giving it enough time. Times when one of us or both of us have neglected to give our relationship the time, the attention, the care that it needed. And the relationship reflected those shortcomings. One of us or both of us noticed something's out of sync, something's out of whack, something's not lining up. And it took purposeful attention and commitment to right that situation. We had to stop and look at our relationship and admit our own fault in not caring for it properly and then change that. Often when our relationship is stressed or hurting, it's because we're just not giving it the time that it needs. When we're in the car together on one of our trips, driving 1 or 2 or 4 or 12 hours down the road to whatever is next, all we have is time with each other. There is only each other to listen to. If she talks, I'm the recipient and vice versa. We talk and listen to one another purposefully and attentively. In that space, in that time, we have each other's undivided attention. And it feeds our relationship. It's the fertilizer that makes our relationship grow. Now, don't think we spend all that time discussing grand concepts and deep philosophy. Sometimes it's just ridiculous and absurd and inane. But relationships need that time as well. Time to be silly and unserious. Time to laugh. The other day we were sitting in our living room, and I was looking at Facebook, and she was looking at something on her laptop, and I mentioned, I said, "Hey, today's National Pizza Day." To which she responded, "That's not a thing." It says it on Facebook. And we got tickled about the fact that it's not a thing, but it's a thing. Relationships need that time to be silly. They can't be inundated all of the time with the weight of what the relationship is. There has to be a time to breathe, a time to laugh with each other. Now this week is Valentine's Day, a moment to stop and think about relationships, to take note of them, to take stock in how they're doing. When you consider your relationships, when you look at the close relationships you have, how are they doing? The relationship with your best friend, with your significant other, with your spouse, with your family, is it thriving and growing? Is it vibrant and life-giving? Or is it hurting? Is it lacking? Is it withering? What about your relationship with God? Just as our human relationships need time and attention and care, so does our relationship with God, even more so. Often I think we get into our relationship with God and we try to put it on autopilot, as if it's something that can exist in the background and can just hum along. And yeah, I'll go to church once in a while and read my Bible if I think about it and attend a potluck or two. And we think that's going to be enough to maintain the relationship. But the problem with your relationship with God is God doesn't want to maintain that relationship. God wants a relationship that is growing, that is vibrant, that is alive. God wants to spend more time with you, just the two of you. God wants your undivided attention. God wants to hear what is going on in your heart. God wants you to hear God's whisper in the maelstrom. God wants to spend time with you. What time are you giving to your relationship with God? And I'm not talking about time in worship or time in service. Those are monumentally important to your faith as well. But in your relationship with God, what time are you taking for you and God? Just the two of you. Jackie and I, we take time to be in the car with one another. Here in the next month, we're going to be driving down to Florida for 2 days, just the two of us. We take that time to be with one another, to listen to one another. In your relationship with God, God wants that as well. What time are you setting aside outside of this, outside of service? What time are you setting aside just to be with God? I have a 22-minute commute every day from my house to the church. It's not a very long time, but you know, when I take that commute and I turn off the radio and I'm driving there in silence, it is an excellent time to simply be with God in our relationship, to simply dwell in that relationship with God for a moment, to simply open my heart and listen. What is God saying to me? It's a time for my relationship to grow. What time are you giving to your relationships? Is there time to connect, to grow, to listen, to love? Think about your closest friend, your significant other, your spouse, your children, your parents. How much time did you devote just to them this past week, this past month? Relationships are not add water and stir creations. They need time. Time to form and become what they are. Your relationship needs time. What time are you giving it? As we enter this week that is chock full of messages and themes about love, it's a reminder to check in on your relationships. With those you love, with those who you walk this journey with God, are you giving them time? Are you giving them some undivided attention? Are you caring and nurturing and growing them? And if you aren't, then what are you going to do today to change that? Don't wait. Relationships are far too important. Start today by giving it a good dose of time and see what flowers.